so that we can fulfill the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, you're not a believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So this causes a problem for the Muslim women in our ummah, because Shaitan will take advantage of this and make her at the most look at somebody else. Big problem for you now, brother. And at the least, make her not gain the fruit of nikah. The fruit of nikah. Then she goes on, don't give me mixed messages about my sexuality. I am more uncertain about it than you are. I have been raised to believe that men would not respect me if I were openly sexy. This is a careful woman speaking. I may be confused when I see you attracted to seductive women, yet critical of me if I seem provocative. SubhanAllah. Big problem. All women have to cover everything with their hands and their face, and those who cover their faces, alhamdulillah, this is mustahab, at least. And then, when we're driving in the car, when nobody sees us except Allah, then your wife, you turn and look two and three and four times, which is illegal, at those non-istinja making girls with the little dresses on. And this causes a problem for your wife. Don't keep me on a pedestal. Trust me enough to be open with me about sex. Your caring example will help me overcome my reluctance to do the same. Don't toss the ball and then find fault with me in the way I feel it. And brothers understand what we're saying with this. Don't throw me the ball, she's saying, and then you don't like the way I deal with the ball. Criticism coming from you, who are so important to me, because you're important to me, she says, erodes my self-esteem and leaves me feeling that I can't do anything well. That I can do nothing well. You don't want this, brothers. You don't want to be over your wife in a sense that she feels like that she's so incompetent and so inadequate and she can't do anything right. You will see how much more self-confident and productive I am when we both recognize my right to do my task my way. If I am rushed and distracted, try not to interpret my actions as rejection or lack of caring. At times, there are pressures that I don't welcome either. When you put other priorities ahead of me, I try to tell myself that you have a reason to do so. But it doesn't mean you don't care for me. Two adults don't need constant reassurance of each other's commitment and devotion. I'll read this again. Two adults don't need constant reassurance of each other's commitment and devotion. The next one, brothers, is extremely important. Be careful to say what you mean. Be careful to say what you mean. Please don't make outrageous statements that hurt and expect me to forget them. Believe it, brothers. We're talking about the problems that face women in the Islamic community. Believe it, brothers. Women thrive off of two basic things in Islamic marriages. There may be more. Maybe some of you know better than I do. Probably you do. But one of them is trust and security. The third could be honesty. Brothers, the average woman doesn't want herbs and diamonds and big cars, and they're nice to have. Big houses and a whole lot of shoes, and they're nice to have. Alhamdulillah, you should give them to her. Because the best dinar, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is not the dinar that you spend in jihad or in your animals. The best dinar, and we'll say here dollar, is the dinar that you spend on your family. That's the best money that you can spend. The one you spend on your family. And family means, firstly, your wife. Brothers, when you have a woman who trusts you, she'll do anything for you. If she trusts you, she will do anything for you. The average woman is like this. This is the nature of a woman. And if she feels, number two, secure with you, she'll do anything for you. You have the best of women. But once that trust is gone, once that feeling of security is gone, and the honesty is gone, if you're not honest, if you don't keep your promises, if you know that you can't do what you say you're going to do, don't tell her that you're going to do it. She says, please don't make outrageous statements that hurt and expect me to forgive them, or make huge promises that you never carry out, and then you wonder why she's grumpy. You wonder why when you come home she hasn't fulfilled the sunnah of the Prophet in beautifying herself, fixing her hair up, putting some halal makeup on and lipstick, putting that nice dress that she has on, or whatever, or lack of it. You wonder why she's like this. It's because you don't keep your promises. You don't carry out the things that you're supposed to carry out. So it causes a problem for the sister. I take seriously your order to get off my back when you're angry, and I look for the flowers you promised to send when you are affectionate. And affection doesn't mean, brothers, while you're being intimate, you tell her you love her, and outside of the bed, you never tell her you love her. Because women know, brother, and they're very sensitive. They know, and they feel the word, I love you, outside of the bed, and the sisters can answer this, I'm not a woman. That saying, I love you, just picking up the phone when you're at the job, busy day, and saying, sweetheart, alhamdulillah, I was just thinking about you. I love you so much. Sending her a card and you live right there with her. Don't put the forwarding address on it, because it's your address. Put the card in the mail, put the stamp on there, and put it in there, and just say, I love you, and I'm just thinking about the many good years that we've had together. And when she goes to the mailbox, I wonder, and then and write it with your left hand, if you're left, right-handed, or opposite. So she won't know who it's coming from, but she knows your handwriting. Put it in the mail. When she sees it, you may even be at the table with her. You may, wherever. And when she sees it, wallahi, brothers and sisters, will a tremendous benefit for your marriage. It'll relieve and alleviate the problems for the Muslim woman in this ummah. I'm still telling myself that people reveal the truth when they're angry. And this is true. I remember one sister complaining to me because she was pregnant. She was sitting on the steps. And at that time, she was about 8 months pregnant. And you know, when sisters are pregnant, sometimes those who are bigger than usual, they can't sit with their legs closed sometimes. She was sitting on the steps in the apartment building one time, waiting, coming out of one of the relatives' houses. These are all true stories. And she said that her husband said, stop sitting like that in front of her proper relatives. You look like a whore. Sitting like a slut. What kind of statement is that to make to your wife? You should be sensitive. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَانْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you, O Muhammad, were rude and harsh of heart, you would run them away from you. And then we wonder why we have some sisters who are going to churches. I don't know if you have that problem down here. But up north we have some sisters who have attended churches looking for men, going to discos looking for men. They still have discos? Going to bars. Discos are gone now, right? I don't know. Looking for other men, looking for something else, because we're not sensitive. Even, she says, I still tell myself that people reveal the truth when they're angry, and that unkept promises show insincerity. Even when I try to avoid it, I feel a distancing from these hurts. A coldness creeps into the way that I relate to you. And I'll end it here, because the last statement that she made is about women's liberation, and Islam is the women's liberation. I care not to read that part. As for the rights of the women, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pointed these things out very clear, in very clear terms. And as we mentioned earlier, the right of the woman is the obligation of the man. And that is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. The men are the maintainers and protectors and supervisors and providers of the women. If that's our obligation, that means she has the right to these things. And once again, one of the problems of the Muslim woman is her ignorance, as we mentioned in the first part. Sisters, I beg you, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, stop foregoing maintenance to marry a brother when he wants to take another wife. Stop relinquishing the right that you have to maintenance just so you can get married. Stop it. And make those brothers pay those dowries up front. Up front. And if he can't afford what you want, because the best dowry is the easiest one to pay, كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, as he said, then ask for something less so you can fulfill the rest of the part of this contract. But make sure that you get what is your right. If you have an income of $125,000 a year, sister, and your husband earns $20,000 a year, what's his is yours, and what's yours is yours. And he should not take anything from your money to provide for you. That is a right that you have. And you, sisters, through ignorance, are relinquishing these things, and you don't have the power to do it, because the right that is on you and the obligation that is on your husband to take care of you has been put on his shoulders by Allah, and you cannot remove an obligation, which is your right, that Allah has put on you. I repeat, you don't have the right to remove your right, which is the opposite of an obligation from your husband to you. You don't have that right. Stop doing it. When you do this, this will eventually, and Allah knows best, cause a big problem. If you are told that the brother has a history of wife abuse, don't be foolish and rush into that marriage with this man. This is insane. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Fatima bin Qais radiallahu anha, when she approached him to marry a man, don't marry him. She wanted to marry so and so. I think it was Abu Sufyan or Sufyan or someone from his family. My memory doesn't serve me correctly now. He said, don't marry him because he carries a stick on his shoulder. Stick on his shoulder means he beats his women. Don't marry him because he carries a stick on his shoulder. And he said, don't marry so-and-so because his fist is tight, which means he doesn't spend on his women. But marry so-and-so. And incidentally, sisters, the hadith that's collected in Ibn Majah that says, لا يسأل الرجل فيما طرب امرأة عليه, that a man will not be questioned to why he beat his wife. The chain of this hadith is unauthentic. You should not use it. The hadith is da'if jiddan. It's not authentic. Don't try to use this hadith on the sister while you're beating her. A man will not be questioned concerning him beating his wife. The hadith is not authentic. You're going to be questioned, brother. The other rights that you have, which are similar to your husband, even though it's not explicitly mentioned, you have the right, as we mentioned, to sexual fulfillment. And we know the famous hadith, which is authentic, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a man calls his wife, even if she's at the oven, she has to respond to his call. Not that you have to respond to her calls if she calls you, But if you love for your brother what you love for yourself, if you love for your sister what you love for yourself, you will fulfill her needs also.
She has that right. She also has the right not to clean the house, believe it or not, brothers. She also has the right not to wash your clothes. She also has the right not to cook your food. And the responsibility is on you. Oh, there's some difference of opinion in this. It seems as though the strongest of opinion is that you can get her a maid. Of course, in our economic situation today, that's not some brothers do it by getting another wife. They bring the other wife in to do the cleaning. That's not what she means. But she doesn't have the obligation to do these things. The obligation is on the man. And I can cite you many different hadiths and asar from the Prophet and the Sahaba testifying to this. But of course, it is highly recommended for her to do these things, because your duty is to provide for her, so her duty is the opposite, is to maintain those things that you're providing for her. So she should do these things. But don't force her to do these things, because the best one among us mended his own clothes and milked his own animals, and sometimes cooked his own food. His name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And believe me, brothers, even more than those mink coats and that BMW, come in the house a couple of days in a row and wash the dishes for her when they're all piled up and see what kind of reaction you get. Take that vacuum cleaner and just clean up. Carry your dish, and when you finish eating, carry your own dish and wash it. Or assist her in drying the dishes when she washes it. And things similar to this. Believe me, brothers, this will alleviate the problems of the Muslim women in this ummah. And in my conclusion, because I'm going way over the time, and I don't have a watch on with me. You put the time on me, I don't have a watch. Alhamdulillah. But I know you brought it up here for some reason. In my conclusion, I would like to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the woman another right which is extremely important. And that right is, okay, I've been told that we need to stop here, and inshallah, if we want to discuss what is this next right that I was going to mention, inshallah, we can discuss it. Subhanaka wa bihamdika, in the questions and answers. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم
السلام عليكم. Okay, we're going to have approximately a half an hour of questions and answers. And then we're going to break and make the salah. After that, we will proceed with the next topic, which will be teenagers in Islam. So I have two questions to begin with. The sisters, I believe, have the questions back there. When you're finished and you're ready for these questions, would you please, as quickly as possible, bring them up? The first question: what about a brother that is? What about a brother that is having an affair with a non-Muslim woman, and he's Muslim? And I'm going to go to the next question, because the answer to the first question will probably be very brief. What should we as Muslim men do to help correct this problem if he has been doing this wrong, if he has been doing wrong things to his wife?
It's haram. Having, quote unquote, the word that the kuffar use to try to glaze it over and make it look less abominable, affair is haram. Don't say affair, say zina. And incidentally, brothers and sisters, the word zina encompasses adultery and fornication. And adultery, unbeknownst to many of us, is number one, or A, when a man is married, or a woman is married, presently, and they have this illegal sexual act with someone else, or they're widow or widower, or divorced, and they have that act. They commit that act. I'll say it again. Don't be disillusioned. According to the Sharia, the Islamic law, adultery is either you've been married or you are married. Fornication is only by the virgin who's never been married. And the second part of the question, what can be done about this? If you know that this is a fact, then you need to approach the individual, the husband or the wife who's doing it, ascertain the facts from that individual, if they will admit it, and if they don't admit it, and you have no proof, then you seek refuge of Allah, and you ask Allah, if you feel uncomfortable, to make your situation easy, and if not, to remove you from that marital tie.
The next question, does a woman have an obligation to obey her husband in all halal matters? The first question. And the second question is, what can a sister or the community do about a brother who brutally beats her? And when can an outsider step in?
Yes, a woman has the obligation. A woman has the obligation of obeying her husband in not all halal things, but halal things. For instance, if your husband tells you to, let's think of one that maybe none of us would disagree with. If your husband tells you to buy Dawn dishwashing liquid instead of shampoo, Ivory, and of course if any of these things have pork or anything like that, please disregard what I said. But if he tells you to buy Heinz ketchup instead of Hunt, then you should do it. You should do this. This is something that's halal, and he's telling you to do it. Whatever reason he's telling you, but you can't somewhere in the Quran allowed to buy Heinz ketchup. Yeah, but he's telling you to do it. So do it. You're there to obey him. This is a very important aspect of this, of the marital situation in Islam, and it causes a problem because sisters don't know that they have to obey their husband, even in the halal things, even in things that are not mentioned in Quran and Sunnah. But at the same time, the brother should be very aware and sensitive to not make his wife do what an unauthentic hadith says to do. An unauthentic hadith says to do, that if he tells her to go to a white mountain and bring a black rock, she has to do it.
So we have some questions from sisters now. Was it? That wasn't a sister's question, Arthur. No, it wasn't. But it's all applicable anyway. Islamically, sisters have to cover what about brothers? In other words, some brothers are doing other Islamic things, and I guess Islamically, the sister saying, what does she have to cover about her husband? No, brother, that's not what this is talking about. It says brothers are doing un-Islamic things and hide in the masjid, going to discos, etc. So, in terms of Islamically, sisters have to cover what about brothers? This is what I'm gaining from this. Like, in terms of covering fault, to what degree, and whoever wrote this, am I getting what you're asking?
Are you talking about clothing? And people out in the community.